Hallelujah. Hey, Jackson, good to have you. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise God. Give him the hands, bread. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Fred. Blessings on you all today. Beautiful January day. God has blessed us with another day. God woke you up this morning. That's a miracle. You see God in your life. You know, God, yeah, that's giving praise. Absolutely. You know, remember what he said to Stephen, or Doubting Dave? No, not Doubting Dave.
Thomas.
That's
right.
Where's David, buddy? No? Doubting Thomas, he said, because you see me, you believe. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe yet not see him. Blessed are those who believe yet they do not see him. You are blessed, children. I don't know what you do with your blessings every day. I don't know how you pray to God and you see blessings. You know, you see a bad thing in your life and you think it's not good, but God might be doing something through that little thing that you think is bad. God may be making a great thing because you're blessed. You are a blessed people. I think that's a great sermon right from the pulpit. You are a blessed people because you believe even though you didn't see. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing to that. He's allowed you to see. There's people in this world, he said, no, they don't want to see, don't let them see. He's kind of got his hand between them and seeing. God said, if they want to believe that, let them believe that. He allows them to believe what they believe and not see. So if he said they want to be that way, what does he say in the Bible? Let the blind lead the blind. But he's allowed you to see him. I believe even an atheist, a true atheist, if they really exist, see God somewhere. I think even if you're mad at God, you see God and you believe God. But even if you have a doubt and say, I don't know there is, somewhere along the line during your day, during your week, during your month, something happens. And you can't explain it, and your mind says, is that God? Or something just overwhelms you, like a sunset or a sunrise or a beautiful thing. Something that you might say, is God real? And that's all it takes. That's all it takes for a believer, amen? To start thinking about God in that way and seeing God as higher than we are. Seeing God in control of everything. And when you let God be in control of everything, it gives you peace. Understand that. When you allow God to be your lover, you just love him and you want to serve him, it gives you peace because he said, I know all your need. I'm going to supply all your need. That's a nice word too, but there's no S after that. He's going to supply all your need. Not all your needs, because we think we need so much, but we have a lot. We are blessed today in this church. We are blessed to be here today. We've got to give him thanks for that. It's no little thing. Please see God in it. There's people today who probably never saw God before, never called on God, never prayed to God, and they're in a place that they just can't believe the devastation. And they got to turn to somebody. We can turn to God. And God has allowed that for us. So give him praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for everybody here this morning, Lord. Let them receive something today they did not expect from you. Isn't that the greatest prayer of all? That you receive something from him today that you did not expect. Because that's the kind of God we love and we serve and we just worship. In this house, Lord Jesus, you're welcome in this house. Angels, to be in this house, surround our house, angels, and keep us safe out there, Lord, and just love us. As we love you in Jesus' precious name. We'll be right back. Before you'll be let in. Don't just call on him. Maybe God is waiting for you to pray something else. Maybe God is waiting for you to pray for someone else. You ever think of that? You're thinking in your life, well, God's not answering my prayers. He's not answering my prayers. You ever think about, maybe I need to do something just a little different with him? Maybe I need to trust him more. Maybe I need to talk to him, pray a little bit different. Maybe I need to pray for somebody else. Maybe I need to pray for forgiveness. Maybe I need to repent. And God will see that repentance because he loves one thing above all things. He loves obedience. Let me say that again. The Lord, our God, Jesus in heaven, loves obedience. He doesn't want sacrifice. He doesn't want offering. He wants obedience. And it's not hard to be obedient to somebody who gives you everything that you have in your life.
Thank you.
Praise him. Who got a new puppy? They got a new, where is it? You see, the smile, the smiles, you all got laughter today. You come to church, when I was a young boy, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but when I went to church, my mama took me to the church. I thank my mom every day for the seeds that she planted in me. But not only the fact that where I went, they spoke in Latin. But if I talked to somebody to my left or to my right, I got yelled at and looked at and pointed.
Yep.
And if I dare laugh about something, they throw me out the door. But here you are in God's house today and you're laughing. You have the heart of joy. Put your hand in the hand, brother.
Putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Now every time I look at you, into the holy book, I want to tremble. When I read about the part where a carpenter cleared the temple. Oh, the fires and the sevens were no different things than what I profess to be. And it calls in the shame, you know I'm not the girl that I should be. So put your hand in the hand of the man till the water. Put your hand in the hand of the man to conversate. Take a look at yourself, you will look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. My mama taught me how to pray before it's the age of 7. And when I'm down on my knees, that's when I'm close to heaven. My daddy lived his life with 6 kids and a wife. You do what you must do. But he called me an uncle, but it takes to get you through. So put your hand in the hand of the man, still the water. Yeah. Put your hand in the hand of the man. Take a look at yourself, you will look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Thanks so much.
Stop being nice to me. She's being nice to me this morning because your pastor left his sermon at home. My Bible, my sermon, and everything that I had created for this week.
You got this.
I got this. God has given me all I need, and I know. But I just say it. And I just want you to understand that it's humbling. But it's also exciting to be able to talk about him. I can talk about him for hours. I can talk about the Holy Spirit for hours because I want to move you to a different place. And the sermon, the message, I want to call it a message that I had for all of us. You'll have it all next week. So you have to show up. But for today, we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. I have things on my heart I want to talk about. I also want to ask my bride to do something she has no idea I'm going to ask her for.
I know, make sure that you bring your Bible every week. I'll add that to my list.
Deacon Jim said I need to have a list at the door, but it wouldn't have mattered. I walked out the door and I left it right there on the chair.
And I'll be right there. You know,
I am mortal. Your pastor is mortal.
Amen.
I make mistakes.
Amen.
But I love him with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. He has blessed us this week. Doreen, and I'm not asking for, I don't want you to feel bad about it. I just want you to understand the blessings that Doreen and I, because we have him in our hearts every single day. We had 4 shows this week canceled. Canceled. And we looked at each other and we just smiled and we said, if anybody understood what happened to us this week, the hit we took financially. And don't feel bad, because God's going to, I'm not worried about it, because God's going to replace it. But we looked at each other and we said, we can stay home and be together.
Oh, yeah!
The weather was so bad, the wind was blowing, it was 10 degrees outside, and we said, God just wants us to stay home and be together.
Amen.
But we saw the blessing, where other people would say, oh my God, what am I going to do? How's he? But he kept us safe. He kept us away from sickness. One of the facilities, and we love this, they said, well, you can come, but you can sing on the 3rd floor. Normally we plan, you can sing on the 3rd floor. And Doreen says, so sickness doesn't go floor to floor. Just... And she said, yeah, would you? And Doreen said, no, we won't.
Because we don't want to carry it to another facility and make them sick.
But, and I know we're laughing and having fun, but I have a serious thing I'm going to ask my wife to pray for, only because her faith, and Brother John, you're going to be a testimony this morning. Her faith for praying for weather has been unbelievable. We have traveled in bad weather, and she's prayed that bad weather. Even Deacon Jim knows when we flew that time and the storm, you prayed, and we got... I'm going to ask my wife later to pray for rain in California.
Oh, definitely.
Nobody's out there praying to God. I know there's churches out there. I know there's Christians out there. I know. But everybody I see on TV is talking about what they, and I said, well, somebody. Oh, there's no rain in the forecast. I said, I don't care. God creates all this. He created the wind. He created. And I'm going to ask my wife, and I'm going to ask anybody who will believe with us when we pray later, give you a little heads up, to pray for rain in California, because that's what they need. I don't know.
Yes, my love.
But it never rains in California.
I know.
Remember that song?
It never rains in California. I mean, that's a great song. But I believe that we should pray for that, even if nobody out there is praying for that. Even if people out there never called on him, even if people out there thought they were so self-protected and they didn't need God and they were living their life and they had all these beautiful homes and they had everything in life and they didn't call on God, I get that. I get that. I see that. I'm just saying that when there's their time, God will call them. But I'm just saying that I think we should pray for rain today as a church. Can you not? I want you to understand, if it doesn't rain, it's because God's will not to rain. And because as far as I'm concerned, he makes the weather.
Yeah.
He's created this world to do exactly what it does every day, 180 billion years.
What?
Well, that's what they say. The earth is, it's 150 billion years to 180 billion years, given 30 billion years. What God has created, he created wind, he created rain, he created snow, he created everything that we have. So I think as a church this morning, I would truly love us to see and pray for rain in California. But I want people who will believe that, people who just, I want to have the people pray with us for that miracle of rain and just watch. And even if one thing that it will do, it will keep your mind on God as you watch for the rest of today, tomorrow, Tuesday. You're going to keep your mind on God, which is a good thing. You're going to talk to God and you're going to keep your mind on God and he will give you understanding. How many know the Bible says he will give you understanding if you ask for it, if you seek it, he will give it. Ask and seek and knock. So let's think about that later, and you all stand with us as we sing one more song this morning for Walter and Jean. We're glad to see Walter and Jean with us today. Praise the Lord. Tia G, sing with us today. I come to the garden alone, while the dew still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet. The birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen, and be seated. You all be seated. Be seated in God's house today. Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? Have you ever thought about how much he really loves you? Even he loves you even if you don't love him. Imagine that. He has blessed your life when you didn't deserve blessing. He has blessed your life when you did not deserve to be blessed. And he just says, love me, and I will. If you imagine how much more God could bless us when we are obedient to the word of God. Amen? I believe that. You all believe that with me? You ever just talk to him? We're going to talk a little bit about Samson today. That was the message. But there's some parts of that message that you might miss in different ways. Aspects of that message in the book of Judges that refers to today, refers to you and me. That's the power of our Bible. How many know your Bible is the most powerful book in history? It's real. It's God's word. It's eyewitnesses who told us about him. Your Bible, that's not just another book on the shelf. That's the book of life. That's a book to tell you little things, that little hints of how to do this and do that, and don't do this and don't do that. Sometimes that's even harder when God says don't do that when you want to. How many know that's true? Are y'all with me today? I need help today. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing?
The king of the earth set themselves.
All right, hang on. Bulletin. I know, I know. I'm trying to stay in the line here. I'm following the bulletin. I praise the Lord. I'll do that again for you all. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Your turn.
You.
The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break the bonds in peace and cast away their cords from us. That's your God. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Hallelujah. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like potter's vessels. Praise God. The word of God in Psalm 2. That's your promises. You got all kinds of promises in your Bible. All kinds of things for God. I happen to remember the quiz. I don't have it, but I remembered some of the questions. Just in case. I want to thank you for all the beautiful things that you text me with and all the things you say. And I just want to reiterate again that every message I give is for all of us. When I'm preaching to me too, but I have you all in my heart every day. Every my sermons, everybody, and I see everybody when I'm writing because I want something for everybody. I all want you to receive something. So when you tell me, I felt like you spoke to me, I said, exactly. But I pray everybody feels that way. Then I'm speaking to you because I'm speaking to me. We are blessed, children. We are so blessed. You know, it was this week made me realize so many things about blessings. When I could have been worried about finances, which everybody worries about finances, instead of immediately thinking, I get to spend the whole day in my house with my bride. We get to watch TV. We had food in the house. We had water in the house. My wife made me coffee. We had hot chocolate. I'm thinking, what in the world could be better than this? Lord, how many times can I? And you, the more you see God blessing you instead of the things that you don't have, the more you realize how great it is. How great God is. And I'm going to say it over and over again. When you're obedient, think how much more God can bless you when you're obedient, because he cannot bless sin. No matter how you think sin or isn't, whatever you're doing, he cannot bless that. You can create things with your own hands. And I told you before that I did that years ago. I had something that I built with my own hands, and one day it was gone. I said, what? And God said, I didn't give that to you. That wasn't from me. You did that. So I let you have it. And then you lost it. I let you lose it. But everything that God has given to me, everything God has blessed me with, it's special. It doesn't go away. Amen. It just gets better. It just gets better. 20 years ago, if that happened this week with me, I'd have been wrecked. Here I am with God now. I'm so close to God that I saw it as a blessing. When you see things in your life you think are coming against you, when you reach out, anybody know that you finally reach out in faith, you finally act on something you were going to think, and all these things start happening. Sometimes you got to start thinking, why didn't I do that sooner? Maybe God was waiting for you. How many know that God waits for you someday? Yeah, he knows you pray. He heard your prayer and he said, I'm going to answer. But maybe he's waiting for you to take a step. I'm not saying do works. I'm not saying, but maybe the God that we love is just waiting for you to pray a certain prayer, to take a step and do something that changes you. You know that repentance word we talk about? It simply means a change of heart. Say, Lord, you've given me all these beautiful things. Why am I hurting you? Why am I mocking you? Why am I mocking the love? Because when you sin, how many here sin? When you sin, when you fall short, and other people see it, and they do, they mock God. They said, I wanted that God. They mock you, and they mock your God. They make fun of him, saying, yeah, you're a Christian, all right, but that God thing, God thing doesn't mean anything. You see, that's the part of sin that you don't see, that people see you sinning, and they don't think anything of your faith, because you're not acting, you're not walking in faith. You know, we all fail, and that's the other part of the world that you have to understand. They want you to fail. Satan wants you to fail. That's his job, for you to fail. So the world wants to see you fail. So they rejoice in your failure. But with God, God can make a bad thing good. He can take, and remember how we say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper? That means that the weapon's going to be formed, but you can do something greater. God can be greater to you than you thought if you take that step. How old was Abram when Ishmael was born? Y'all remember Ishmael? How old was Abram when Ishmael was born? Was he 84, 85, or 86? A little hard, right? How old was Abram? You know your Bible, I know y'all do. How many think he was 84? Anybody 84? How about 85? We got 85, 85. How about 86? We got 88. Woo, look at you guys. Why 86?
It was the oldest.
Four score and 6 years. 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Now I'm going to do this part because this is my part of my quiz anyway. How many times, did Samson lie to Delilah? All right, get it out of your system. Why? Okay, we got that out. Last week it was Jeremiah. We got that. But how many times did Samson lie to her? Was it once, was it twice, or was it three times in the Bible? How many times did Samson lie to Delilah? Anybody, he lied to her once? How about twice? He lied to her twice? How about he lied to her three times? Three times. Yeah. He lied to her three times.
Yes.
Three times. She wanted to know where his power came from, where his strength came from. I'm going to give away my sermon now. I'm going to So Samson must not have looked like Hulk Hogan. You ever think of that when you're reading that? Samson was the strongest man on the planet, but he didn't look like Hulk Hogan. How do you say that, Pastor? Didn't say that. Because they wanted to know where his strength came from. If he walked in the door like Hulk Hogan, you know where his strength came from, right? Those pythons and real brother. But evidently he didn't look like the Hulkster because they didn't know where his power came from. So he lied to her three times about where his power came from. That's a great story we're going to get into for sure. How many children did Israel have? You know, Jacob, they changed his name from Jacob to Israel. How many children did he have? Did he have 11? Did he have 12? Or did he have 13? How many children did Jacob have? And they named him Israel. How many think he had 11? You get 11?
Is this with one wife?
One wife. How many children did he have?
Well,
I don't know one wife. How many children did he have? 11? Trying to stump the pastor now. We get 12? Anybody 12? Y'all got 12? How about 13? Anybody 13? Say that again. He had a daughter. What was her name? Dinah. He had 13 children.
12 boys.
Dinah. Now it's getting crazy now, Faith. He had 13. He had 12 boys and one girl. That we know of. A lot of times they don't mention the girls' names. I'm sorry. David had a girl too. Tamar.
Today.
I had to make a laugh. You have to make a laugh. Sense of humor, David.
What was it that the high priest had against Jesus at the feast of the Passover? They had something really against him. They were so mad at Jesus. Was it blasphemy? Was it healing on the Sabbath? Or was it killing the fig tree? What was it that the high priest had against Jesus at the feast of the Passover? Think about that. Was it blasphemy? Anybody with blasphemy? How about healing on the Sabbath? Healing on the Sabbath? How about killing the fig tree? Anybody with that? I made that one up. That was mine. It would sound like, if you read that and you just hear it, you say, well, healing on the Sabbath, they hated that. But it was blasphemy. Comparing himself to God. Saying that he was like God. Of course, he was God. When you read in the book of Judges the story of Samson, you'll read in the beginning that the angel of the Lord came to Manoah's wife, Manoah. That was the guy, his wife. And the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, you don't have any children, but you're going to bear a son. And he's going to be a Nazarite, which means he's going to be dedicated to God from the womb. Imagine that, from the womb. Y'all hear that? God knew what he was going to be where?
From the
womb. You think about that now. So she gets all excited, and he says that for him not to drink anything, wine, don't have any wine, Or the Bible, your Bible will say, or similar drink. And the word similar is in italics. And what does your pastor always tell you about the words in italics? They're added by the writer. When you see a word in your Bible and it's in italics, that you know that's not that's not part of the scripture, that somebody put that in there to make the sentence kind of flow better. But it says, he shall not drink. In other words, without it, it simply says, he shall not drink wine or the other. Instead of similar, like wine, or similar drinks. He shall not drink wine or drinks. So he should not have, and they should not cut his hair. His hair shall be never, and his beard shall never be cut. And the Spirit of the Lord would pardon him. And there's so much more to the story, but what I want to let you know is, she went and told her, his wife, she went and told her husband that the angel of the Lord came and told her what he said. And what did he say? He prayed that the Lord would come back, the angel of the Lord would come back and tell them what to do with the child. So he prayed about that. He didn't call her crazy. He didn't say nothing, but he prayed. Because why? Because he wanted to what? See the angel of the Lord. He wanted to hear it himself. That sound like a fair prayer? Because God answered the prayer. The angel of the Lord came back, and it said he came back to Manoah's wife while she was sitting in the field. And when you read that, you're going to bypass that. But here's what I don't even want you to, ladies, especially ladies, please ladies, understand that where God sees you, there's no man and woman. I mean, the man has got his place and the woman his place, but the woman with God is right there. I mean, God calls on women to do great and mighty things, right? Just read about Deborah, read about Esther, read about people in the Bible. And I can't tell you how many times Pastor Grace said a church cannot function without women. I say amen, hallelujah. But the angel of the Lord went to her. And I'm starting to pray and think about why would he go to her? And it was very obvious to me. Because she was receptive. She was in a place where she could hear. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was working. Maybe he had other things on his mind. Maybe he was worried about the Buffalo Bills playing this afternoon. I don't know. Whatever was on his mind, God couldn't get to him. But he could get to his wife. See, ladies, you see, when you're like she was, when you're receptive, whatever she was doing, she was open. And right away, she saw the angel of the Lord go to her and not him. But he prayed, so the angel came back. And I think that's just fascinating. I find that really, I want you to understand, ladies, that God calls on you to do great and mighty things. He wants you to be great. He wants you to do great and mighty things for him. He wants to bless you. And he went to her before he went. And now, this, you know, think of the Old Testament, and I get it. I love the Old Testament myself, and I think, Brother David, you say that the same thing. When you read the Old Testament sometimes, you find things out, and you see things, and you put it together with today, and see how important that is. The angel of the Lord, anybody want to guess who the angel of the Lord was? It was Jesus. The angel of the Lord that came to see Manoah's wife was Jesus. Yeah, in the Old Testament. Because Jesus was before the book was made. Jesus was why the book was made, but he was before. Just read it. But he was Jesus. And you say, Pastor, where did he get? It was very simple to read that. Because the angel of the Lord comes back again, and Manoah is talking to him now. And he's asking, what is my son to be? What is the future for my son? And it said the angel of the Lord does not tell him that, just reminds him of what he told his wife. That he, no drink, no wine, don't cut his hair, he's going to be a Nazarite from the womb. So he says, Manoah's husband says, Manoah says, can I make you an offer? Can I make you some food? Stay here and eat with us, and let me make you some food. And the angel of the Lord said, no, I won't eat with you, but if you make an offering, make it to the Lord. And then Manoah asked him that question that other people in the Bible have asked. He said, what is your name? And he said, why do you ask me my name, seeing that it's wonderful? In your bulletin. In your response, in your bulletin's scripture readings. Wonderful. Isaiah 9:6. Read that and read it. It says, "For unto Christ, unto us Christ is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful." It was Jesus. But there's more. You see, they made the offering. And as the flames went up from the altar, as the fire was burning and they were making the burnt offering, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord ascended into flames. Think of it, it's right there. Think about it. The angel of the Lord ascended. Jesus got into flames and ascended into heaven. And they saw it. I'm going to tell you this word again because this is so important for you. Write this on your refrigerator. Aloud. Jesus allowed them to see him ascend in the flames to heaven. Think about that. Jesus allowed them to see. His name was what? Wonderful. Why? Because he was doing wonderful things. A child. He was giving them a child. And he was telling them how great he was going to be in Nazareth. And if you want to read about Nazareth, just read in Numbers, in chapter 6 in your Bible. And you'll read all about that. But they see the angel of the Lord ascend to heaven in the flames. Think about that. Think about what you would thought. Think about that God allowed them to see that. And then, ladies, I'm hearing you think guys are so smart. It said they fell flat on their face. They got down and they worshiped him, saying that we just saw God. We just spoke to God himself. That's what the Bible says. We just saw God and we spoke to God himself. We did. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I'm telling you, sometimes you get right down on that ground. Sometimes you kneel when you pray on the side of your bed. Remember they always said, kneel on the side of your bed. Sometimes you've got to get down. Sometimes you've got to humble yourself. Sometimes your heart is so strong that you want God to hear you, that you get right on the ground. And that's what they did. They worshiped him right there. They fell on the ground, said, we just saw God himself. God spoke to us, said, we're going to have a son. He's going to be this and that. And what does Manoah say right after that? We're going to die. We just saw God. And what does the Bible say about people who can't see God? You're going to see him, you're going to die. Right? And his wife is so cool. So cool. I could just see really, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's true. I could just see her standing there giving him that look only a woman can give a guy. You're all laughing, but I love to see these movies. This is so good. She looks at him and says something like, really? Really? He just told us we're going to have a kid and how great the kid's going to be, and we just saw him at the thing. We just made an offering. He talked to us, and now he's going to kill us? What are you, nuts? Yes, he was. She gave him one up. Really? Think about it. When you read it like that again. She said, really? You think now he's going to kill us? We don't even have the baby yet. You see how dumb lines can be? She gave it to him. What are you talking about? He just told us all these wonderful things. He showed us. He's going to die. Because we saw God. He loves you. He loves you so much. Praise the Lord. I just love that part of the story. It's amazing. What? What are you talking about? You're going to die? Sometimes we forget how much he bound us and how much he cares about us. Sometimes you don't think you see him and you don't think he cares. We do that. Sometimes we just feel like he's not there. And that's so sad because he's always there. That's what she would tell you. Manoah's wife would tell you, what are you, crazy? You see the blessings that you have. You see the fact that you see God. You know, not all the world is believers, but there are unbelievers and there are different faiths of believing. And those are two totally separate. You can meet an unbeliever. Some people call themselves a seeker. Anybody ever heard it? I'm a seeker. I don't know what to believe. Or they're looking for God. They're searching for God. They're an unbeliever. Or maybe they're mad at God. They don't talk to God. Or maybe they say, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about God. But in my heart, like I said earlier, in my heart of hearts, I think everybody has those moments where they think they want to see God or they see God. Because God is so wonderful and this world is so beautiful. It's hard not to understand that God created something so perfect for us. The rivers never run out. I mean, it's just amazing when you think of everything. So they see God. It's just so wonderful. But an unbeliever can be reached. They have a heart that can receive. But somebody of another faith, you see, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for the world, but it's dangerous for us. Who fell to that? The greatest tragedies of Solomon's life, the greatest pains and sorrows that he had in his life was because he fell for other women of other faiths. Understand that. There's a big difference between an unbeliever and somebody who has a belief, because they believe in some other God, and they won't change that. And that's, and God says, what does he say? And it's in your bulletin. He said, you shall love the Lord. This isn't a suggestion. I'm going to tell you, this is not a suggestion. It says you should love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all of you. All your heart. That's not a suggestion. Anybody? It's right there in your bulletin. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you so much. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. This is the first one. The first commandment. And it also says in Deuteronomy, I love that, there should be no other God before me. None. Zero. Nada. All right. So my question, my sermon would be, how this pertains to us today. Why would we want? He doesn't share wealth, first of all. Y'all know that, right? Our God doesn't. And I say to you today, why would he? Why should he? He gave us his son. He gave us his son. So why should he share with another God? Why would he share with another God? He wouldn't share with another God. We should have no other. And that's the danger of different faiths. You know, is it wrong? Is it wrong? Is it a sin? Well, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. That, and it's for our own good. Does that mean that it never works? No. Does that mean it's going to be just, no. But God is saying for your own good, for your own good, don't be unequally yoked. Don't put yourself through something that could cause all kinds of distress. It's that simple. You love him. You love him for who he is. You don't want, he doesn't want to share you. He doesn't want to share you. Why would we share him? Why would we divide what we got from one God to give it to another God? Because it's just not going to work out. Either one God's more important or the other God's more important. But don't be unequally yoked. You know, this, I hope you all laugh at this, but they're, you know, believers in this world. People who go to church every week in this world meet somebody, and guess what? They still got problems. How can that be, Faith? They're both believers. But they get problems because we all have faults and things we all got to work out with each other. Amen? So even if you're both believers, it doesn't mean, bang, here it is, oh, this is great. A relationship is beautiful. When God blesses two people to come together, they're going to have problems. We all have problems. They're all going to have things to work out. You're going to have sacrifices. I know you don't like that word. But the bottom line of your sacrifices to believers is to love him with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul. You see, you love him. You focus on him. You let him be the director. You let him be the guide. You let him be the one. And you go back to his word and you say, let's go back to the word. Let's do, something's not happening with us. Let's get back to the word. You see, you got two people who have the book, the same book, the one that we're reading, the one that we all love. You go to an unbeliever. They might sit and listen to you read the Bible. You go to somebody who's never heard about God. He might listen, but somebody with another faith, they won't listen to a word. And that's where the trouble lies. And that's good old Samson is the same thing as Solomon. I don't want to go too much further with that today because I'm enjoying myself now. I got in the flow there. And I want to talk about something else for a few minutes because I was absolutely moved this week. I was, I don't say convicted, but I learned a lot this week about somebody, I guess. The Bible says not to judge somebody by their worst days. You all know that's true, right? Somebody, don't ever judge somebody by the worst of their time. And I know we don't, but sometimes maybe we do hold things in, maybe we see things that we do. But the Bible says not to judge by somebody's worst moments, something failure. You see that a lot with somebody, they don't like somebody and they'll say, well, he was divorced four times, or he filed for bankruptcy, or he did all these other things, or he committed a crime back in 1985. And okay, That was pretty bad, but it's 2025 now, and I guess he walked from there to here. You know, I guess something good happened to him. Maybe we shouldn't just look at that. Maybe we should look at other things, what they've done in their life and how they've done in their life. And, you know, we think we know people when we don't. We think we know celebrities when we don't. You know, we read about stuff that they do and stuff that they say. And, you know, we get that news and we think we know a lot about those people and we make our own opinions, which is normal. We all do that. And anybody here besides me ever guilty of that? You all guilty of that? Making opinions and things about people you don't know, but you think you know them because you read something in a book? Well, that was kind of me this week. I was humbled and I had tears in my eyes and I said, my God, wow. You see, Doreen and I, we are so, so thankful for Madison. And I'm telling you, everybody said to your grandchildren, and I want you all to have that. But I just want to say that this girl reads the Bible every day and says, oh, Lord, thank you. This girl talks about the Bible, talks about Jesus. She talks about her devotional. She lost her devotional for a couple of days of work. She went crazy. And she finally found it again. And I'm not saying that to us she's very special, but I'm just saying that the seeds that were planted, she received those. And I'm so very proud. She comes here and she sings, and y'all love her. And she came here and she said, Pop, I want to sing this song, these Christian songs, I'm washed in the blood when we have the baptism. Back when I was a young man, we had a president in our country. And, you know, I didn't know anything about anything back then, but I had my opinions. And everybody said that he wasn't the best of presidents. It was pretty bad times back in the day when he was in charge of what he tried to do. I don't know what he tried to do. I don't know enough to tell you what he tried to do or didn't do. I know that we waited in line for gas. I remember that time when we all had to wait in line for gas, what was going on in our country. And I know that there were hostages from Iran. They had that. He was trying to deal with, and I know that there were other things that he was worried about. Right? And we had something back in the 70s called the Misery Index. Anybody old enough to remember that? Remember that they had something on, they called the Misery Index. They did it every day, what was up or down. And I don't know. That's really all I knew about the guy, except he was a farmer and he came from Georgia. All I knew about him, President, I was... And I guess for 4 years, he was a governor of Georgia also. I don't know how they felt about him there, but he was a Democrat and Republicans, you know how that goes. And you said, oh, well, I don't know much about him. But those are 8 years. And the man said it on the other day, he said, maybe for those 8 years, he didn't do as well as he wanted. But for the other 92 years that he lived, he preached this. He did Bible studies. He pastored, just like I'm doing. He talked about Jesus. He wasn't afraid to say Jesus. He wasn't afraid to call on Jesus. He wasn't afraid to stand on this word. And he did Bible studies. And he did church. And he went all over the world building houses. He actually himself, with a hammer and nails in his hand, he went out doing what his heart led him to do, what he felt was the right thing to do. You see, maybe I was selfish or whatever I was, that I judged him for 4 years of something I still don't understand because I was too young to understand. But I can tell you, listening and what I watched this week, I was humbled to tears. Humbled to tears. Say, Lord, we got to stop judging people by what we think we know and look at their life. And it wasn't just that. It wasn't just the fact that he did Bible studies, because he did. He may have been the only president alive since I've been here that did Bible studies and preached the Word of God from the pulpit and told people about God and lived like God called him to live and was good to people and honest to people and fair to people. I'm thinking, wow, this guy, how wrong could I be? And the Lord just kept piling on. And I mentioned Madison before for this reason. Three of his grandchildren, three of them, got up in that church this week as they were doing the memorial for him. Three of them got up there, and all three of them spoke about Jesus. Not God. Not, you know, hallelujah, the Lord. Jesus. Jesus. My grandfather taught me about, we talked about God. We talked about Jesus. We read the Bible together. We did Bible studies together. He ran Bible studies. He helped me to be a preacher. He helped me to go and tell other people. And we spread the word about God. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God. What a beautiful human being he was. Brothers and sisters, I know you love me. And I love you with all my heart, and I know you love me the same way. But that man was standing preaching the same word that we're preaching today. He was a brother in Christ, and he did his life according to the word of God. Was he perfect? Anybody here perfect? Because I'm not, but he wasn't either. But he loved God more than I could have ever. I mean, I know that they always said he was a wonderful man, and I think, well, that was good. But watching grandchild after grandchild, and the third one went up, and he just read the Bible. He just read the Bible. He opened up the Bible and he read for a few pages and he closed the Bible and got down. And every one of them, when they got down and walked past the casket, they stopped and they put their hand on the casket. They adored him. And they all said, my grandfather told me about God. Told me how to live for him, how to love him, how to read his word. The value of this book in their lives. They look so beautiful. So beautiful. And I guess the other thing was another president's son got up and spoke. He moved me to tears. President Ford's son got up and spoke about the relationship that he had with Mr. Carter. You know, a Democrat, Republican, not supposed to talk to one another. He said they were like his father and Jimmy were the best friends. They did things together. They called each other together. They were beautiful, beautiful people. We cannot judge people by the worst times in their life. We cannot judge people that we don't know. We can judge, but we should do one other thing. We should pray for them. There's people in this world that need prayer. The people that don't know Jesus, they need prayer. That's the bottom line. The people in this world that don't know Jesus, I'm saying Jesus over and over again. Brother Jim, thank you for that. But I also want you to realize, Brother Jim and Samson, that was Jesus. So how can you talk about the Old Testament and stuff if you don't talk about Jesus? But that's where we are. Him. Him. And we should never judge people by the worst time in their life. We should pray for them. If somebody doesn't know the Lord, we should pray for them. We should stand together and pray for them. We should love each other and pray for them. Pray that they find Jesus, because the worst thing in their life is not having Jesus. No matter how much money they have, how much wealth they have, if they have Jesus, they don't have Jesus, they have nothing. And you see it today. There's a lot of people waking up today with nothing. But if they have Jesus, I can't imagine the blessings, the things that he can do in their life. And this is a perfect time that you saw. This is a perfect Job time in the world today. You're seeing it. You know the story of Job when his family died and his three friends came and for 7 days they said nothing. Why? Because the pain was so absolutely unbelievable that no words were required because nothing would help except a hand on their shoulder. Those people out there deserve that right now. They just deserve prayer. There's no words that we can say with our mouth to make them feel better. But we can be there. We can pray for them. We can pray for rain. Rain in California. We can pray for the impossible because we love the one who creates the impossible. Would you all do that with us today? Doreen, could you pray? Just, you want to come up or you want to stand? You want to say, just pray for 30 seconds or 15 seconds that it rains? Sweetheart, I just believe you. I have faith in you. I've seen it time and time again, and I believe. Anybody else say, I believe? If you believe, believe in agreement.
Lord, please help the people of California. They need the rain so badly. They're all hurting. Everything's destroyed. You're saying there's no rain. It's going to come anytime soon at all. But more winds and more devastation. Please, Lord, you make the winds. You make the rain. You can do this, and you will bless them. And it'll be a miracle, and they'll have to give it all to you because there's no rain that's coming in the foreseeable anytime soon. So Lord, please help your help your children. They're all devastated, and the death and the animals. And please, Lord, just your will be done. Just help them. In Jesus' name I pray.
Hallelujah. And we will give him the praise and the glory, church. Give him praise. Hallelujah. That's our message today.
We got to get Sergio.
I believe it. We got to pray to God for everything. The giver of all good. Thank you, Father. I believe it. Standing on the word of God till the answer comes. I'll say this too. There's no other place that you're going to have the salvation. No other. There's no other place to have the salvation that Jesus promised us. He is the truth, the light, and the way. There is no other where to go to what other God. That's why you want him. Love him with all your heart and all your soul, because he is the way to salvation. For your children, if you love your children, you want to love Jesus. You love your grandchildren, you want to love Jesus. You want to teach them Jesus so they can stand on the rock. They can be who you want them to be and give them that love and that strength. Amen? Strength to know him and love him. There's no other way to have what you're dreaming about for the resurrection except through Jesus Christ. He took the bread, blessed and broke it. He passed out pieces to the disciples. He said, eat. I want you to eat, for this is my body being torn for you. And he said, eat and do this in remembrance of me, in Jesus' name, church.
Amen.
Amen. There's no halfway. There's no halfway. There's no dividing. There's no substitution. There's no compromise. God will not share his glory. We shouldn't ask him to. He's so good to us. So many blessings that we don't even see. Blessings we take for granted. That's okay, because he knows us. But we need to see him more and more in our lives to know that nothing formed against us shall prosper. That we can move mountains with our faith. Believing those mountains, those problems that we look like mountains to us, can be removed through faith. That means you have to stand and trust and lean on him. No other place, no other man, Jesus. Poured the wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins. No other place. And he tells them to drink and do this in remembrance of me. In Jesus' name, amen, church. Somebody be healed today. Somebody make a promise to God that you're going to draw closer. Somebody repent today. What a miracle, repentance. Time and time again when you read your Bible that somebody repented and God blessed them almost immediately. There's no waiver. There's no purgatory. There's no time out. He blessed you. Repent. Turn back to God. Sin is costly. Sin will destroy you. It will destroy the people that you love. Return back to God. Repent. Every day. That's me. Trust him. Trust him. Give it to him. Be healed today, church. Find something in God today you didn't expect. Go back and read Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16. So you understand the story, and I'll finish the story next week. I'll tell you more about Samson, and I'll tell you more about his bad choices, and I'll tell you more about how God responded when he repented. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, give him praise, church.
Okay, just wanted to make everyone aware that there's some schemes going on. Through text lately, what they're doing is they're saying that you owe like $6 or $7 to one of the highway authorities. Nancy was one of the first people I know that got the scam, which basically said we owe like $6.95 to the state, to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts or the Mass Turnpike Authority. Don't click the link. if you don't have one of those easy passes and you go underneath one of those gantries or whatever else, you do pay by plate and they will notify you by mail that they want money. But if you do get these links or anything else that says, you know, it's usually a small amount of money, but anytime a government agency doesn't get paid, you know, they double the fine or they add some other fee or whatever else on, don't click the links. They'll mail you. So, you know, there's a few other little scams going on. I want to put on Facebook. Say what?
I got a scam. People come to me that I owe $866 to PayPal. They went to PayPal in my name. I go, I don't even have PayPal.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. So.
Everybody scams like crazy out there. Everything.
John, you got a scam?
Yes, a friend of mine, he received notification that he owed X amount of dollars, and it was in New Jersey. So they had a picture of his marker plate on another vehicle, and it was a Connecticut plate. So they put this poor man to a lot of misery about having to worry about paying a fine that he was never in this place that they claimed. I don't know if that fits into what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, if you do see something and you kind of wonder, make a phone call to that authority or that agency. But don't click the links, because a lot of them will put, you know, nasty stuff on your phone. They'll pull your information in. I'm a bit of a chicken when it comes to all this new stuff, because once we put everything on your phone, then it's in the place where someone can take it. So, you know, you won't catch me, like, zapping the money through whatever, you know, things that are available. But as a family, we need to stick together. So thanks for some of those other scams, but there's a lot out there. Also, let's not forget the people of North Carolina who basically fell out of the headlines now that California is burning. Some of the celebrities, I hear them kind of crying, but they've got homes elsewhere. But there's a lot of people like us who are paycheck to paycheck struggling, who are losing everything. And that was also a very good tribute to Jimmy Carter. Personally, as a politician, I don't think he was that good of a president. Probably because he had a heart that believed in people, and people behind him, you know, stabbed him in the back or whatever. But again, let's not judge by just what little we know.
Thank you, Brother Craig. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Miss Faith, nice and loud.
I went on Friday to see my eye physician, my eye surgeon. And he said that I definitely need surgery, but this is the thing I got to go to, and that appointment, and this appointment, and it's crazy all over the place. Anyway, get down to the bottom of it. This eye is going to be May 19th, and this one is going to be June 2nd. Until all the other companies come.
We'll keep you in our prayers, Sister Kate. Thank you. That's what church is all about. That's why you go to church. That's why everybody knows your name. And we can pray for one another. We can pray for great and mighty things from Him. And let's stand and take the offering. We have so much to be thankful for. We have the most wonderful God that we believe in and that we trust and that we love, and just blesses us over and over and over. The Bible says His mercy and His mercy endures forever. It's a long time. He puts up with a lot of stuff from us for a long time because of the loving kindness that He has. We're covered by the blood of Christ. He doesn't even see our sins. He won't share us with anybody. And why should He? And why would we want to share Him? For our children and our grandchildren. You gave this offering today for this church, your church. I pray this morning in front of everybody that God blesses the givers today in ways that they can't even believe, that they have to tell us, that we would never believe where their blessings came from this coming week. I believe that. I believe that we should all have mighty testimonies about what God did in your life this week. Beautiful, wonderful testimonies of blessings that each of us can share in today. Good things. Because we love Him and because He loved us first. We give this offering to you, Lord, from your people. The people in this flock, the people in this house who believe on your name, Lord, they gave it, their cheerful giver, Lord. We give this to you, Lord, asking you to multiply it for this church. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Lord. I thank God for helping me get through today. Wasn't that hard, actually? I love to talk anyway. Oh, really? But I thank God for allowing me to share some of my sermon and share my message. And I thank God for allowing me to share what I saw this week that moved me to tears, that humbled me, that made me repent about things that I didn't understand. I see a family so in love with God, so a family so in love with Jesus, I said, I wish I knew him. What a beautiful family he was blessed with because he first loved God. He made mistakes like we did, and he did these things that we didn't agree with, but had nothing to do with the man that he was in his heart. And that's all we can ask from our fellow believers and our brothers and sisters in this church that we need so much. We need so much unity in this church to build this church higher. We need to bring people in one at a time, two at a time. We need to be bold enough to ask people to come. We need to be bold enough to stand for Jesus and say, hey, in our church we talk about good things. We talk about the word. We talk about things that will bless you. We talk about things that will lift you up. And yes, the pastor's going to be talking to you, and he doesn't even know. You won't even know it. Right to your heart. That's what a pastor should be doing. Thank you, Lord, for helping me today. Thank you, Lord, that we pray, Lord, that there'll be rain in California, Lord. And when we see that rainfall, we are going to give you the praise and the glory like the world never saw. We're not going to take credit for it. We're not going to say, look what we did. We're going to say, look what our God is doing. And then we'll see something in our faith. We'll go from here to here to here. In Jesus' beautiful, precious name this morning, church, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. The ultimate healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, church. Brother Zippy, ask God to bless America.
Thank you, my brother.
God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with gold, God bless America, my home sweet home.